I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, and I will never, never desert you. For lo, I am with you forever and ever. And if you say,
well, praise God, this is the Word of Faith Netcast. This is Dr. Bill Bailey. I'm glad you could join us once again this week as we get into the Word of God. And we're going to be doing something a little different this week. Some of you long-time Word of Faith Netcast viewers and listeners may remember that over a year ago, I appeared on Brother Gary Price's TV show or ministry called Message of Victory. And we kept saying we wanted to get that video, and various things came up, technical issues came up in editing and so forth, and they finally got that video to me, praise God, you know, amen. That's the thing, you got to stand fast, praise God. And I appreciate all the folks down at Word of Faith Worship Center. They do a great job. The production quality on their TV net broadcast for them, netcast for me, is high quality. They have tremendous equipment and production values there, and I appreciate that. Praise God. So, as it turns out, even though it's over a year old now, the very topic that we're talking about on the Message of Victory broadcast that aired there from Concord, North Carolina, is the topic that we're talking about right now on the netcast, and I think the timing is awesome on that. So we're going to go directly into the broadcast there of Message and Victory with Pastor and actually Dr. Gary R. Price, who is pastor of Word of Faith Worship Center. And I tell you what, we had a tremendous time and a tremendous discussion about the Word of God. So let's go directly into that right now.
Price, welcome to the Message of Victory broadcast. And we're delighted to have as our guest today, Bill Bailey, Dr. Bill Bailey. And Dr. Bill and I go back into the early 80s, in which we have done ministry together since that time. And at one time, Pastor or Dr. Bill, or pastor, he was a pastor at one time, and Dr. Bill was my associate at a church where I pastored, and we kind of grew together from that point, and we've kind of done some things all along together, and we're just delighted to have you right back here on the Message of Victory broadcast.
Well, I appreciate it. I always enjoy getting to preach the Word and getting to be here with you, and we had some good days back there at Taylor's Grove many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Seems like a whole nother lifetime.
Been a long time.
We've
grown
a
little older. Maybe a little wiser, hopefully.
I hope a little wiser over time.
But anyway, we have a scripture that we want to start with. And this, Brother Bill, I know you got a lot to talk about. And let's look at this scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." And it didn't stop there, but it said old things.
They passed away too, but that's old. Okay.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What does that particular scripture say to you, Brother Bill? And I know we're going to go over into another area
here. Yeah, we're getting into a lot of things today. If depending on how the Lord leads us, I mean, we may go in a completely different direction. You never know, but as I was meditating on this, the key thing that I see here, if any man be in Christ, if you just stop right there, you know, have you ever thought about what it means to be in Christ? You know, we use a lot of terminology in Christian circles, and as Christians, we don't think about it, but it can be just as technical a language as somebody that's in computers talking about computer language. If you were to go out and talk to somebody on the street that doesn't know anything about Christianity and say, "in Christ," what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Well, it means, of course, we know, being born again and being a member and part of the body of Christ. But again, that's language that if we don't understand what's being said, it can go right over people's heads, and they'll just say, well, they're just talking religious stuff, and they won't think about it. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, being in Christ is not just attending a church. Being in Christ isn't that your mother and father came up in the church. Being in Christ is being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think about Romans 10:8, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in the heart. That is the word of faith, which mm-hmm. we preach. I mean, you pastor Word of Faith Worship Center. My ministry is Word of Faith Ministries. The whole reason for that term, Word of Faith, is because it is the word of faith that we preach. That's what Paul said he and the people with him preached. So, the next verse says, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even thy mouth and thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, believe that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, confessing Jesus with the mouth as your Lord, and this is what the Lord's been dealing with me a lot about lately, is more than just simply making a statement. You could get somebody on the street and say to them, say Jesus is your Lord. And if they were just going to parrot it back to you, they'd say, Jesus is my Lord. Well, that doesn't make him Lord of their life.
Yep.
And a lot of us miss that. We've made getting born again so simple, and that's good. I don't mean to take anything away from that. But it's so simple that we don't understand what it's talking about. Think about what the term Lord means. You know, if we go back in history and we look at a Lord and his servant, there were people in the early days that became indentured servants. And that was simply people who were so poor and so destitute that they would go to a rich man and say, I will work for you, I'll be your servant. And the rich person would say, well, I will put you up in a house so you'll have a place to stay. I will feed you meals. They wanted them strong because they were their servant. I will make sure that your needs are taken care of up to a point. Obviously, you know, they were still the servant and master relationship. But a good master took care of their servants because it was in their best interest. This was their workforce. And so the master-slave or lord and servant relationship was well understood back in the old days of the Bible, so to speak. Today, we don't think so much about that because we don't have masters and slaves. And, of course, we frown on slavery. That's not a scriptural state in that sense. But the terminology that came out of that, of the Lord and the servant, is what it's talking about when it says confessing Jesus as your Lord. He is our Lord. He is our master. He has control over our lives. If he were to tell us to do something, we should go do it. Mm-hmm. We should have a servant's attitude. Now, the great thing about Jesus is he's the greatest master of all. He not only wants us to simply be fed and housed and cared for at a minimal level, he wants us to be fed and clothed and housed at a sumptuous level.
Yeah.
He wants us to prosper. He is providing for us absolutely like we were cherished family members, not servants. Mm-hmm. Yet, we are still servants. We should still look at his needs in the earth before our own, which is the receiving him as Lord aspect. Now, for Word of Faith preachers and teachers, that's unusual to talk about. But at the same time, it's very necessary for us to go back and look at the fact that God is God.
Yes.
He is sovereign and master, not sovereign in the sense that a lot of people talk about today, that he's going to break your leg to teach you something. We know better than that. You know, John 10:10 says that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give life and that in abundance. So it's pretty simple to see in your life if something's negative and destructive and is killing you, that's Satan. Mm-hmm. If it's blessing you, it's God. So I'm not talking about that kind of sovereignty teaching. Matter of fact, we could get off on a rabbit trail right there that'd keep us going for several broadcasts, because there's a whole teaching going around today about the sovereignty of God that is just absolutely minimizing the authority and power of the body of Christ, the ability that we have as believers to get our job done here on the earth. Because it's teaching us that we need to just accept anything that comes, anything that happens, no matter how negative, that's God's plan. And that's not what the Scripture teaches. That whole line of reasoning and thought and teaching is wrong.
Well, first of all, you've got to, you've got to understand the character of God. If you don't know what the character of God is, then you could think all of these things. But knowing the character of God, that means I have a character, you have a character, mm-hmm. God has a character. Now, our character is supposed to be conformed to His.
Exactly. But, and that's part of that lordship.
Yeah, part of that lordship. But you've got to go by the character of God. God is love.
Right.
God is, is love, long-suffering, He's joyful, He's
all the fruit of the Spirit.
All the fruits of the Spirit.
Are exactly describing His personality.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so that's the character of God. And so if it doesn't fit in His character, then we need to relook that.
Right.
We need to think about that again.
If we see ourselves being vindictive and striving and trying to overcome someone else's will, that in and of itself should demonstrate that's not coming from the character of God.
That's right.
I mean, if God were the kind of individual who was going to overpower you with His will, then it would be a matter of receiving Jesus as Lord. He would be forcing that on us.
Mm-hmm.
And that just shows His character. That shows where He's coming from. He has provided the greatest gift that mankind has ever seen, which is Jesus and salvation.
Yeah.
And yet He doesn't force it on us. He doesn't say, I gave my son, by George, you better get born again. No, he's not that way. He says, I've provided this. It's up to you to receive.
Mm-hmm.
That is loving. That is kind. And that's exactly what His nature is. He is love. I mean, it's not like He has love.
Right.
He is love. And so we need to conform to His image, as the Scripture says. We need to conform to His personality. And that gets back to what I hear a lot of people say, Christian people I'm talking about here. Well, that's not my nature. You know, I've had our pastor tell the congregation, we need to get together and have a fellowship. We need to join together. We need to eat together. We need to talk. We need to get to know one another. And after service, somebody will come up to him. And to be honest, I was one of those people who would come up to him, you know, Pastor, that's great, but I'm just not a people person. I find it awkward in social situations. I'm very withdrawn. That's just me. And he said something that really got my attention. He said, that may be just you, but that's not Jesus. That's not His personality. He is a people person.
Yeah.
He loves people.
Yeah.
He wants to pull people together. We need to fellowship as believers together, not because it's our personality to enjoy it. Now, there's some people that just enjoy that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, personally, I've always been the kind of person to sit in the back room and, you know, not really be socially outgoing. But I found that I needed to change that part of me in order to be a people person, in order to be able to be around people. I mean, how am I going to teach the gospel if I can't talk to people?
That's right.
So we have, there's certain things about our personality that we may have to deny in order to allow His personality to come to the foreground. So being in Christ is more than just saying, well, I'm a believer. No, being in Christ means I have relinquished a lot of myself and said, okay, Jesus, whatever you want me to do, you're my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
If you want me to preach in front of all these people and I don't like being in front of people, I'll do it. And then what's great about that is once you agree to do what He's asked you to do, He'll give you a love for it. You know, your personality conforms.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that kind of conforming. Conforms to His will. And then you find, wow, this is great. I'm enjoying this. When before you may never have enjoyed it. But that's part of being in Christ. And then you go to the next part of the Scripture. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, again, we look at that language, we let it roll right off our tongue, we don't even think about it. But what it's saying is a new type of creation that's never existed before.
Yeah.
This is a new man. I'm not the old man I was. Maybe I was withdrawn, but now I'm not. I've had people tell me, you can't possibly be introverted and withdrawn. Not anymore, but I used to be. But now I'm a new creature. And because I'm a new creature, God has taken me and made me something that I wasn't. And it says, all the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He's literally changing me, molding me into who He wants me to be.
Yeah.
All I've got to be is agreeable.
Yeah.
And malleable. You know, like the clay. Be malleable where He can work me and And when people start talking like that, they immediately go into this thing of, oh, yes, God's going to mold me and he's going to, and it may hurt. No. Anything God has for you is going to be good.
Yeah.
And if he wants you to change some aspect of your personality, let's say, to conform to what his image is,
it's just going
to
be better.
It's going to be better. Exactly. And yeah. You're going to enjoy it more.
That's right.
That's just the way he is. That's his nature.
Brother Bill, the Bible tells us and gives us clearly what God meant about this particular verse over in Ephesians, the 5th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about when a man and a woman come together in marriage, then they're no longer that individual. They are something new, a new entity that never
right.
has existed before.
And they become one flesh.
Yep. And that's why he said that's not talking just about marriage, but it's talking about the church in Christ.
Right.
How
Jesus
we relate to him.
The bridegroom, the church as the bride of Christ, as the Bible talks about. And we could get into a whole lot of theological discussion about what is the bride of Christ. I understand that in terms of prophecy teaching, the bride of Christ is the new Jerusalem, but we won't get into that.
Right.
We'll just talk about the fact that, metaphorically speaking, the bride of Christ has been the church. So you take the church, you take Jesus, you bring them together as one flesh, and that's how we are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And when we become in Christ, then all the old things, you know, there's a lot of things about my personality that I never liked. You know, I could list them all. Most people can list off all the things they don't like about themselves. Some people have a hard time listing the good things.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, all my good things are in him.
Yeah.
So I don't have to be, you know, some people think, well, you're just arrogant if you're bragging on your good points. No, I'm bragging on his good points.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any before I was in him. But the thing is, all the old things are passed away, all things are become new, and all things are of God.
Mm.
Now, it's great that in him, all these things we're talking about, all the personality and who you are and how you move and operate and so forth in life, they're all of God.
Yeah.
And we need to lean on that. We need to have as much faith in that as we have faith for prosperity, for healing, all these things. We need to have faith in the fact that we're in him.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have faith in the fact that all things are of God. And therefore, you know, it's not arrogant for us to brag on God. You know, I love to brag on God. I love to brag on the fact that he gives me favor.
Yeah.
We were talking as we were coming back from lunch about, well, that's just favor. I got more favor. Well, some people say, well, la-di-da, you know, who do you think you are? I know who I am
that's
in
right.
Christ.
Yeah.
I know that it's because of him. I'm not bragging on me. I don't have favor with God and man because of me. I have favor with God and man because the Bible promises it, and I'm constantly confessing and believing and actively expecting favor.
Yeah.
And so I'm constantly getting favor to the point that I've had people get mad at me. I've got so much favor. And
you
that's
know
okay.
You know
it's
what?
All God.
I can remember just time after time after time again. I go to Walmart's.
Yep.
You know, everybody goes to Walmart. And if you'd like to go to Walmart, the best thing to do is become a Christian so you'll have favor and get the right parking
that's
place.
That's right.
And
get
we'll
the
have to
right up front.
We'll have to walk all the way. And inevitably, now sometimes I do park way back, and if I can't get one real up close, I go far and walk.
Then you walk. That's right. And get some exercise.
But
it works
so many,
in Circuit City, too.
So many times. Yeah, it works everywhere.
Yeah.
I just thought about Walmart because so many people, everybody goes Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
And to get those parking places, become a Christian. Just become
that's
a Christian.
Right. just for a parking place.
Walk in the favor of God.
Well, it is funny, but you know, I was looking at Walmart. I went to, not Walmart, but Circuit City. And I drove by, and it was one of those big sales. And I mean, you couldn't get a parking. There wasn't a parking place to be seen. So as I drove in, I said, well, I got favor. I'm not worried. I drove up, and literally a guy backed out of the parking place that was in front of the door. And I just said, there you go. Just pull right on in. And my wife said, wow, we had favor. I said, yep, we always do. Amen. But the thing is, everything that we are and what we walk in is of God, who, it says, hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. See, it's in him, it's not of us, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, like you were talking about, that you know, you want to get born again to get a parking place, and I know you were being facetious
right.
and funny, but
right.
in a way, That's exactly what we need to be doing. The ministry of reconciliation is to show the world that God has already provided this for them. Mm-hmm. And by demonstrating the favor that He has for us, and them seeing that we always get the parking place, they're like, why do they always get blessed?
Yeah.
Because we're walking in this ministry of reconciliation. We're showing that God has reconciled us to Himself and that He favors us. Mm-hmm.
You know, what is striking is the fact that I have walked in the favor of God for so long. I mean, my washing machine runs for 25 years. Everything mm-hmm. that I have keeps on working, you know. And then all of a sudden, things start happening. You know, I burn up my garbage disposal and mess up my computer and all kinds of things. And it's happening. I said, I know exactly where this is coming from.
Yep.
This is not the favor of God.
Yep.
So I told my wife, I said, we know where it's coming from. We've got to deal with it.
Yep.
And so we're going to stop that. Now, this has just been happening in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like I could get on that attitude. Everything happens to me. You're not going to hear me say that.
That's right.
Because everything's not happening to me. I'm going to happen
unless
to everything.
It's good. The good stuff's happening, but other than that. But
yeah.
That's exactly
but
right.
But that's because we have the favor of God. That's because mm-hmm. we're walking in His righteousness, and we have this ministry of reconciliation. I agree with you. I believe that we ought to show forth God's
exactly.
blessing in
we
our life.
We are examples to the world of a people that is separate from the world.
That's right.
We're in the world, but not of the world. Well, what does that mean? That means God's got us here for a reason. A, we got to preach the gospel. There's mm-hmm. a lot of people we need to reach. But one way we do that is by being living epistles. Now, another term that we throw around and people don't think about, but an epistle is a letter, mm-hmm. and a letter is used to send a message. We are living messages. You might say sermons in progress,
yeah.
That are out there walking, demonstrating to people what it's like to live in health, to live in freedom, to live in favor. Brother Copeland's been teaching over the last several years, about the blessing. He always mm-hmm. says the blessing.
The blessing.
Because the blessing is the blessing that God has given us that He wants us to live in and expects us to live in. Mm-hmm. Well, the blessing and the favor of God means it's like we're surrounded by a shield of faith, a protective cone, that everywhere we walk, we don't have the problems that other people do. Now, that doesn't mean they don't come.
I know, yeah.
You know, a shield yeah. is there to deflect.
Right.
The problems are going to come, and they're yeah. going to be deflected off that shield as long as you keep that shield of faith up.
That's right.
Now, if you drop that shield of faith, just like a soldier, he drops that shield of faith aside, the arrow is going to come in and hit him right in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if a Christian drops their shield, that's going to happen. But the shield's right there. God's
yeah.
provided it. If we'll keep the faith up and keep the protection up, yeah, exactly, that's what it's
that's
for.
That's your shield of faith,
exactly.
The Word of God.
And we speak that Word and we stay in faith, and that's what protects us. That's the Psalm 91 promise.
Mm-hmm.
And you get in and read, maybe we will in the next week's broadcast, look at Psalm 91 and take it verse by verse. And look at what it provides for us. That's the old covenant.
Yeah.
We got a better covenant established upon better promises. But we can look at that old covenant promise and say, oh my goodness, if it's that good then, what we have now. And that's what we need to be walking in and operating in as we live out our lives and our living epistles to men.
Yeah.
And demonstrating that.
God's Word is so neat. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Bill, I say it all the time, but I enjoy living in the Word, in Christ. We started out with talking about in Christ.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All those old things are passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I've become a new man before God, and we walking into things. And He says all things are of God. That doesn't mean all things on the earth are of God.
Right.
That
or
means,
are your washing machine broke? That's
right.
Of God.
No, it's talking about this communion that we have with
right.
Him, one with Him.
His provision. His life that He's presented for us. That's of Him.
Yeah.
And it's available to us. All
yeah.
we got to do is live
I
in.
Trust you enjoyed the message today. And of course, I'd love to hear from you. You can write me at our email address, drbill@wfm.org, or our mailing address, which is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, High Point, North Carolina. And, of course, the zip 27262. Either way, I would love to hear from you. because I just believe that as this netcast ministers to you, if you'll share that with me, I would just find that to be a blessing, and it would be a tremendous blessing to know how it's reaching and touching people throughout the world. That's the great thing about this netcast. It is heard literally around the world through both the website, WFM.org, which is, of course, our website where the netcast is viewable. You can also download it from iTunes, Blueberry, Miro, all kinds of locations around the world. And then, of course, we're also heard on Word of Faith Radio, WFR.org. So tremendous opportunities to catch the netcast. And, of course, our daily radio broadcast, Word of Faith broadcast, is also available on WFM.org. So take advantage of these opportunities to hear the Word of God. And remember, until next week, to fulfill the Word of God.